Turn to Psalms. Psalms chapter 85. Psalms 85. Psalms 85. I'm going to read the whole psalm, but we're just going to take one verse and just give you a few things this evening about what's keeping us from having revival. What's keeping us from having revival. The Bible says, Psalms 85, said, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine enemies to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set us in the way of His steps. There in verse 6 again, he said, Wilt thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And this is considered probably the revival chapter in the Bible, where the psalmist said, Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And if you've been attending church for very long, you're familiar with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, which we have there on the back wall. It says, If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That verse is what is usually thought of as the principles and promises of revival. And in this verse, we find a very good prescription for revival. You may have heard them many times throughout your life, but hey, they're still just as true and as effective today as when you first heard them. And it's not the principles and promises of revival, hey, that we should be concerned about. They're there. The promises are true. The promises have been there for us, and it's just for us to get into wanting that in our life. But it's the spiritual realization of the need and the reason that we're not seeing revival in our churches and our lives today. And truly, we mentioned sporadically from time to time about praying for revival and seeing revival, and we've been talking about that for years, and we've seen little touches of revival in my life. I've seen God move in our lives several times down through the years, but we're not seeing a spirit of revival in this land that we're living in. Even in churches that are experiencing good services and seeing people saved from time to time, there's really not a spirit of revival that's going on. And if there's ever been a time that we, as God's people, if there's ever been the time that we need to realize how needy we are before God, it's right now. If ever we've needed to ask the question, Wilt thou not revive us again? I believe it's now. It's in 2022. As we look around, we see all the things that's going on. I mean, we look around at some of the spiritual conditions in the lives of Christians or a church that indicates the need for revival. And this evening, I want to look at two or three things this evening, and about why we're not seeing revival and what's keeping us from having revival. I believe that God's still just as much alive. He's still just as much in control as ever. The God that brought revival in time past still wants to send revival today. He's not going to push revival on us. I believe it's something that you and I, as individuals, are going to have to desire. We're going to have to see that need. We're going to have to sense that need. And we're going to have to get the point in place where we would look at that verse yonder on the wall. If my people, and I believe that we that are saved are called God's people, and I don't think that was just for that era of time in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, hey, that God sent that promise, but I believe that promise is just as relevant today as it's ever been. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You know, our problem, we don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to get to the point in place of the stipulations of what's there on the wall, hey, that we might see people saved, that we might see God move in our churches. I mean, we come to church nonchalantly. Hey, we come in not expecting nothing and leaving with nothing ever happening in our lives. A lot of times people just go to the house of God just for a social activity. They just go to appease their conscience or to grace everyone with their presence instead of coming seeking revival and seeking God to move in their lives. A revival is not a series of meetings. We're planning on hopefully having that short revival in March this month, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Hey, but that's not revival. That's just going to be a series of meetings that we'll bring a preacher in, and hopefully people will think it's important enough to come to the house of God and hear some messages that it might encourage them and exhort them to continue on with the Lord and to walk with Him on a regular basis, to get their lives straightened out. I want to hear from God. I'd like to see revival in my time. I'd like to see God and His reality in my life one more time before we leave this world. We was coming up the road talking a while ago a little bit and mentioned something. I said something about heaven's getting sweeter every day, you know, looking better. We look around, it's not looking too good. Them poor people over yonder in Ukraine, now they've been bombarded now for almost a month, and their buildings are destroyed. Millions of people have left their home, and there's not nothing there for them, you know. And we look around, we see situations like that. We see government officials that wants to control people's lives and don't want us to live the liberty that God wants to. It'll get a child of God ready to go on, but go on to heaven. But let me say this evening, hey, we need revival in this land to bring us back to life. We're dead. Hey, we're not getting nothing done for God, and we're not seeing nothing happening because we're unwilling to do what 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, and I'm speaking to all of us, from the pulpit to the pews. We're going to have to get to the point where we desire revival. I know God's sovereign. He sends revival where He will. But I'm going to tell you, He's not going to send revival to people that don't want it. He's not going to send revival to people that's unwilling to pay the price. We've lived to see a day when people are just not concerned about feeling the presence of God and seeing Him move in a real way in our lives. And I believe there's certain things, and there's a need this evening for revival when the reality that we see our hearts, number one, our heart is crowded. Our heart is crowded. Worldly affections can crowd your heart this evening. The things of this world can get so important to you. Just everyday life, and as we go through this walk of life, worldly affections can crowd our heart to the point and place where we don't have no place for God in our heart. It's easy to allow the things of this life to crowd the Lord off the throne of our heart. We look around, there's so much going on today, and there's so much to get people involved, and there's so much of this worldly situation and thing, hey, that gets in people's lives. They don't have time for God. That's why church is on the back burner of most people's lives. That's why pews are empty this evening all across this land. It ain't just here at Open Door Baptist Church. It's other churches. They go in and they don't never sense a move of God. People don't never get stirred up. They don't get stirred in their spirit in a move of God in the services. And we get to the point and place that we've allowed the world to crowd God out of our lives and out of our hearts. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul talking about Demas. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Demas, no doubt, it got so absorbed with the things of the world till he just departed. He just left Paul. Over there one place, he was with him. He was helping him in the ministry. The ministry was important. Church was important in his life. But even back in the days of the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And I'm going to tell you, people's hearts are filled with love for this world tonight. And we all like worldly things. Let's be honest and admit it. Everybody's got that desire for certain things of the world. Everything that we have a desire for is not bad, but there's a lot of things this evening that are worldly, it's carnal, that's taking the precedence of God in our hearts. And we've booted Him off the throne of our heart. We're to keep the things of God as our main focus. You know, it's sad, but we focus on everything else but church, what's important in our life. It used to be people didn't have so many places to go, they didn't have the money to do things, and they didn't have the opportunities, and they were excited about going to the house of God. They were excited about being able to gather together with God's people. They were excited about a revival meeting that was affixing to, maybe it was a month out there, but they were excited and they were anxious to be able to go to the house of God, have somewhere to go. We got so many places to go now. We've allowed the world to crowd God out of our heart. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth." The reason that happens is because most of us have got our affections on things on this earth instead of heavenly things. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm not ready to go right now, but if the Lord's ready for me, I'm ready to go. But, you know, I want to see something. I want to see God move in this life. I'd like to see a revival again. We had a little touch of revival in 93 over at Harmony Street. God moved and on a Sunday night and revival broke out. And hey, we were excited about going to church. We went to church for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. 5 weeks we went Monday through Saturday night. And then Brother Sammy Allen was with us Sunday morning. He'd go back to his church. We'd come in and people was excited about serving God. Hey, testimonies in the choir. I mean, the service would get spiritual and the service would get exciting. People were testifying. People were excited. But we've got our affections set on things of this world so much. Hey, we don't have time to come to the house of God. If we don't have something better to do, we'll come. People drag in on Sunday morning. They can't hardly make it to preaching, let alone Sunday school. Sunday school used to be something special in church. But we've got our affections on things on this earth so much till we'd rather be doing something else than come to church. Well, if there ain't nothing else better to do, I'll go to the house of God. I'll go to Sunday school and listen to that old Sunday school teacher teach. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 said, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Where is your love at this evening? Where is our love this evening? Do we love the things of the world? Do we love the fellowship of the world better than we do the fellowship of God's people? and the fellowship with God, being able to get in a make the service maybe something a little bit special just by being there. I believe one of the greatest problems among God's people in our day isn't so much that of committing gross sin as it is a worldliness of attitude and action. The Bible defines worldliness as the lust of the flesh, a passion for sensual satisfaction, the lust of the eyes, an inordinate desire for the finer things of life, and the pride of life, self-satisfaction, and who we are and what we have and what we've done. Not only we see worldly affections can crowd our heart, but wrong associations can crowd our heart out. Wrong associations, the people that we run with. You know, it's funny that a lot of times we see people that go to church and they're running with questionable sources. Now, I believe we all love people and we ought to witness to them and we ought to try to get them in church and we ought to try to get them born again, first of all, and then get them in church somewhere. But I'm going to tell you, I can't associate with that crowd out there. That worldly crowd that don't go to church, that don't care about God, that don't care about the things of God, I ain't got nothing in common with them. We shouldn't have nothing in common with those type of people. But it's sad to see, hey, a lot of times church people, they'll come to church, they'll leave, and they go out and they're running with worldly people. Everybody they run with is worldly. There's something wrong with that picture. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You are what you hang around. And you'll turn out to be what you're rubbing shoulders with if you're not careful. Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 10, the Proverbs said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Proverbs 1 verse 15 said, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path." Proverbs 4:14 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men." And so wrong associations can crowd our hearts. You know, if people are running around with people that goes to a questionable places and they're participating in questionable added things, then we need to check up and see where we're at. It should never be a Christian go somewhere where they're going to be tempted to drink a beer or have a drink or to be somewhere where if Jesus comes, you'd be ashamed. I believe if we're really looking for Jesus, we won't get ourselves in those situations. So, we're to be an agent that God can use to change the world, not changed by the world. And it's so sad to see that the world's changing more people's hearts than we're changing their hearts, it looks like sometimes. And then we see wicked amusements can crowd out our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Hey, if it don't look right, then you cannot be there. You know, I've always loved cars. I like cars. I always wanted to be a mechanic. When I was a little boy, I was always tearing bicycles apart and everything. And I like fast cars. I always liked fast cars. I used to tell you a lot more about them. But you know, as much as I like fast cars, Todd, I have never been to a car race in my life. I always wanted to go, but I never been to one. And personally, now, I mean, I might have the liberty to go, but I can't go. I couldn't go down here at Jeffco Drag Strip with all that stuff that was going on. I mean, they're drinking, they're nudity and different things. And, you know, people will go to, we went to South Dakota and they talk about that place out there. What is it? Where they, the motorcycles get? Sturgis in South Dakota. I'm not going to Sturgis to one of those things. I done heard too many stories about that place. And that's what, hey, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all the appearance of evil." Hey, you see enough out here in places, it's not like Sturgis and places like that. A Christian, I don't care what kind of motorcycle he got, he ain't got no business at Sturgis during that rally that's going on. Because there's nudity up there. There's drinking up there. There's drugs up there. And it's all around. That's just an example. Now, you might have the liberty to go up there, but you don't, as a Christian, you don't have the right to go. Because you're going to be seeing things. You're going to be exposed to things that God is not pleased with. So we see wicked amusements can crowd our heart. Our heart is crowded out by the things of this world. Not only our heart is crowded out, but then we see our heart is cold. Number two, it's cold in our love. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So we're called in our love for God and things of God. And I'm afraid that it's because of that crowded heart, because of the things that we're, the amusements we're participating in, the love and affections of this world has caused our heart to turn cold toward the things of God. Used to be, people loved to go to church, especially Christians. They loved God and they loved to be around God's people. They loved to get in a good service, you know, where the Spirit of God moved and where you could feel and sense the presence of God. Hey, but I'm afraid because our love for God and the things of God has grown up cold, hey, we don't care much about being around that kind of stuff. Our services have gotten cold because of cold hearts. When a person's got a warm heart and fervent heart for the things of God, I'm going to tell you, it's exciting to be around somebody like that. Just, you can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Cold in our love toward others. You look around, and I'm going to tell you, hey, you get looking at Ukraine and this things that's going on, it'll sort of get you cold toward them people over there that's going into Russians, toward Putin and that crowd. You know, and I guess I don't have much love for somebody like that, but I should have. I mean, you see these people that's wreaking destruction and havoc and killing children and people and just bombing them for no reason but their own power struggle. We've got to be careful. It'll callous us to the point that we'll get hatred in our heart. We're cold in our love toward our neighborhood, toward our community, toward one another in church. We're cold, number two, toward the Lord. I mean, like the church there at Ephesus, many saints have grown cold in their love for the Lord. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Hey, people that used to be excited about serving God, that used to love God, that used to love to go to church, that used to love to be around the people of God, their hearts have grown cold. Their love for the Lord has grown cold. They were excited when they first got saved. Can you remember when you first got saved? Were you more excited then than you are now? Probably we'd all have to shake our head. Yeah, we were a little bit more excited then. But as we go on and people, you watch people and they get caught up in the world and involved in the world system and things. Hey, they get colder and colder. They get called toward the Lord. That's why they don't come to church. That's why they don't have a relationship with Jesus on a regular basis. Hey, if you haven't read your Bible this week, and you need to check up and see where you're at. If you haven't prayed, especially a little prayer, or you ain't prayed before you ate your meal, y'all check up. You're called toward the Lord. Our love toward for the Lord reveals itself in our conduct, in how we act and conduct ourselves. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How people can say they love the Lord and then they go against everything the Bible teaches. It seems like there's just an opposition with people to preach them the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. They're saved and that's all they want. They want to go to heaven. They know their sins are forgiven. Hey, but they leave me alone. Let me live my life. Let me act like I want to. Let me look like I want to. It ain't nobody's business. It ain't God's business. It ain't nobody's business. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If it's in the Bible, hey, we ought to at least recognize it and be honest and say, I know it's there, but I'm not going to do it. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, the Bible says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Our love for the Lord reveals itself in our conduct. And then we're not only called toward the Lord, hey, but we're called toward the lost. When you get called toward the Lord, and you get called in your love, for the things of God and for God, you're going to get cold toward the lost. Because if you don't have a relationship with the Lord on a regular basis and you don't have the right kind of love, hey, you're not going to have the right kind of love toward the lost and you're going to get cold toward them. Paul, you could sense the love that he had in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Miss Ruby, keep asking prayer for your loved ones. It's sad we go through life and we don't never mention, we don't have somebody that's special to us that's lost that we're concerned about. That we want to see them saved. Why? Because basically we're cold toward the lost. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he said, to the weak I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Hey, Paul had a love for sinners. I mean, here's a man that had been beaten. He talked about he'd been in shipwreck. He had been stoned. He had been left outside Lystra for dead. He was in perils of dangers with robbers and different things. He traveled long distances. Why? Because of his love for the lost. Some of them he never had seen. You know, we ought to love those people over in Ukraine. There's a lot of those people that's lost their lives. American journalist that's been in many battles, he lost his life. And I believe there might have been one more that has lost their life, you know. Hey, we all love sinners. If somebody don't tell them about Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell. If somebody don't send missions and support missionaries to go to the foreign field, hey, them somebody's not going to hear the gospel. I can't for the life of me know why people wouldn't want to be involved in missions. And knowing that there's some missionary that's leaving their families here, they're carrying their children, going to a foreign nation, a place that they don't know, but they've got a love for people. And why people wouldn't want to be involved in that? It's amazing. Why? Because we're cold toward the lost. The Bible tells us, work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And I'm going to tell you, it's getting pretty dark out here this evening. We look around, we're seeing all things that's happening. We don't have much time to get the gospel to the lost people around us. A lot of times it's easy because of our lives getting so busy to forget, hey, that one day Jesus is going to return. And our lost loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, and our family is going to be left behind. How many people in your immediate family do you know without a shadow of a doubt that they're lost? And there's some of them that you've not even asked. You know what's sad is, and I've I've had it happen to me. People that we know. My cousin passed away just a few weeks ago. And we were scrambling trying to find out when he had made a profession. You know, and I'm ashamed that I never been down there and asked Chris blunt face to face, "Chris, have you ever been saved?" I just took it for granted. You know, he's been raised up in church, and he went to church some. He wasn't going to church when he passed away, but we began to scramble trying to even find out when he got baptized. We need to know. You kids, you children, y'all just point blank ask them, say, "Have you ever been saved?" I made it a point after that, ask mine if they've been saved. We need to know. We'll get cold toward the lost if we're not careful. This world will callous your heart to the point and place that you won't be concerned. All you're concerned about is where you're going on vacation, where you're going to have a good time, what you're going to do tomorrow. What you're going to do with that big paycheck that you're going to get. That extra, maybe that overtime that you work, what you going to spend it on? Dude, it's good sometimes just throw it in a mission pot and support some missions and do without something for ourselves. Then number three, not only our heart is crowded and it's cold, but our heart is corrupt. Our heart is corrupt. What we see can corrupt our hearts. Psalms 101 verse 3 said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." You know, we see so much wickedness that we get immune to it just about. Television has desensitized us. Amen. Even people in church, Christians. All the wicked things that we see on there, all the killings and the murders and the adultery, the fornication. They flash it before your eyes, and even now homosexuality that they're putting on commercials, and that's wicked. It's wicked as hell. It's self. What we see can corrupt our hearts. You'll get so desensitized to that stuff if you're not careful. You get cold in your heart. And the flesh wants to see things like that. And it's sad that we wonder why we can't have revival when we've got crowded hearts. We've got cold hearts. In reality, we've got a corrupt heart. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," he said, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let's see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stipulations there. If my people, not the lost people out here in this world, not the people that don't claim to be Christian, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. That's a promise. If they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, he said, "then I hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sin." Our heart's corrupt. What we see corrupts our heart. What we study can corrupt our heart. You know, you can just get to dwelling on these things. You study on them long enough. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You want to have a happy life? Be spiritually minded instead of so carnally minded. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Hey, these are the things that we should be thinking of. We shouldn't be studying about all these wicked things that we see. The books that you read a lot of times have a vast effect on how you react and how you act as we go through this life and how we treat others. Our heart is corrupt. Our heart is cold. And our heart is crowded. There's a reason we're not seeing revival. God wants to send revival. This is the revival chapter, Psalms 85. And he said there in verse 6, the psalmist said, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And why? He said, "That thy people may rejoice in thee." You don't know what's going to bring rejoicing in God's people? Is revival. That word revival means a bringing back to life. A bringing back to that place where we were when we first got saved, when we first trusted Christ, when we were excited about serving God. We were excited about knowing that our sins were forgiven. Hey, that we were going to heaven. Heaven's just the icing on the cake. If it wasn't for heaven, I'd still rather be a Christian than anything I know of. I woke up this morning, I knew where I was at. Psalms 119, verse 11 said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." You don't know what keep you from sinning, from getting like this? Hide the word of God in your heart. Study the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, we got the greatest message that this world could possibly hear. The gospel, the good news that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. And he did that for you and I. And if you're here this evening, you've never been saved. Most important thing in your life is not making money. It's not having a good job. It's not having a nice house, a nice car or a truck or whatever. Hey, the most important thing is knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to heaven one of these days. If you got that assurance in your heart, you can lay your head down on your pillow this evening with peace. Knowing if you don't wake up the next morning, hey, you're going to be in a better place. I'm glad I'm saved this evening. If I wasn't saved this evening, I'd find me a place and I'd get down and I'd call on God and ask Him to save my soul. I ain't trusting in that dunking that they gave me either. That baptism, I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm trusting in what He's did. He's changed my life. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." He'll make a difference in your life. He'll root out that old stubbornness and rebellion out of your heart if you're really truly saved. I believe that with all my heart. So are you saved? Do you know you're going to heaven? If you don't, make sure.